hello, hello. It's the Oklahoma Today podcast, captured live on a series of zeros and ones at the Vault 405 in downtown Edmond. This week, we've got Oklahoma Today editors Nathan Gunner and Greg Elwell. That's me. And our special guest, KFOR reporter, anchor, podcaster, all-around cool lady, Lacey Lett.
She is cool.
Thanks, guys.
But first, a word from our sponsor. The Oklahoma Today podcast is brought to you by MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Celebrating its 20th year, the MIO Coalition represents over 70 Oklahoma food processors and agricultural producers. These companies are known for products you can depend on for consistency, quality, taste, and flavor. Local has a name, and the name is MIO, the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. Learn more at www.miocoalition.com.
All right. Super handy resource with Thanksgiving
coming. Yeah, yes, yeah. Exactly.
Yes, very, very handy.
We love the Made in Oklahoma Coalition. They come on our show every other week.
Oh, great.
David Brooks, shout out.
Yeah. Okay, well, that's a great transition because I love your show. You know that I love your show.
The crazy show called Rise and Shine?
Yes, I love it. It's a perfect way to start the morning.
It's weird, but thank you.
That's why I love it.
It's quirky, I should say.
Over here hitting mics.
Not so crazy.
You guys seem like you're having a lot of fun, though.
We do. We do a lot of ad-libbing on that show, which makes it a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And I feel like we're all kind of in the same age range, so we get each other's jokes, and then I feel like our humor is equally kind of that quirky weirdness.
Right.
But you know,
for listeners who don't know, Rise and Shine is on KAUT 43 in the mornings, and it's Lacey and Emily Sutton
and our
very good friend Lucas Ross, who's also on Discover Oklahoma sometimes.
Yeah, that's right.
And you guys, there's this weird alchemy. I mean, it really is. The way you guys mesh together is so – it's like you're peeking into like three – best friends at work just sort of like starting their day. That's really what it feels like. And I think that's why it resonates so much with people is just like because you feel like you're getting to hang out with the cool kids and Lucas.
Plus Lucas.
Burn on Lucas.
We really are close too. I mean, I hang out with Emily a lot outside of work as well. So we really are friends. Lucas is, you know, he's got a family with two children, and so he's really busy. But on the show, we literally just try to have as much fun as possible. Of course, as with anybody, the more you're around them, you also have a little bit of friction sometimes. Very rarely, but it tends to be. The girls versus the boy. Lucas likes to give us a hard time, and we will give it right back to him.
I was going to say, you guys serve it right back to him. It's pretty fun, though.
How did that kind of come to be? Was there an order of people coming in to Rise and Shine, or you know, what's the origin story for the Titanic trio?
So it's in its – now it'll be going on in its 11th year. I actually used to be a guest on Rise and Shine a couple of times whenever I was in PR when Lance West was hosting it and David Payne.
Wow.
I guess I can say that here. competition, but, you know, it's fine.
History. It's all good.
It's the history of it. And then it's kind of evolved to where Emily came in, and then Jolene was doing it for a while, and then Jolene left the show, and so they just asked me on. But Lucas has been there the longest out of anyone. He was the two movie guy, so he'd come on every Friday at first, and I auditioned to be his part back in 2011.
Wow.
Yeah, and I lost. I didn't get it. Another girl got it.
Wow.
But, you know, I showed them later on, I guess, in life. Forward a couple years later, and then there you go. So it's just kind of funny how things just come full circle.
Yeah.
And I remember when I auditioned for they call it the Twitter girl, just to be silly, but the social media part. And I met my cousin for the first time, Ken Ogle. And I went up to him, I said, "We're related." And he looked at me like I was the craziest person. And he's like, "What's your name?" And I was like, "Lacey Lett." He goes, "Oh my gosh, the Lett family." And so honestly, I have reconnected with these relatives that I never knew growing up.
I had no idea.
I didn't know you were.
I didn't know the Letts and the Ogles were.
I didn't know y'all was kin. That's exciting.
I honestly didn't know that we were related until I think I was in high school.
Wow.
And I was already starting on the route of broadcasting.
Yeah.
Because I used to watch Channel 4, Linda Cavanaugh and Kevin Ogle. And, you know, I guess my parents or my family kind of lost contact with their family. But, I mean, my dad's first cousins with the Ogle. So.
How fun. Yeah. Wow. And then you're just on this, like, ride of local news and broadcasting.
Right. great.
Which is exciting. This is something that's so much fun, though, is like I think local news is so important. People rely on it for so much that they can't get elsewhere. So kind of how do you kind of relate to that responsibility? Like what is that like for you and being someone that the community looks to for something they can trust?
Well, I got in this business because literally I wanted to help people. And I do feel like within local media, you can help somebody whenever they literally have nowhere else to turn. They've called all the officials to get, let's say, flooding in front of their yard, you know, worked on. They're not getting the response that they need. And so they call on us to help. And you know, we just call them. We call the officials. We call who we need to and try to help them get it done. And I think that that's the most rewarding part is when we can help somebody, we can help the little man whenever they can't get the help that they need. You know, with that, there is a lot of responsibility. And I'm from Oklahoma City. So it's interesting whenever you're doing stories with people you know. And it's hard not to do something sometime with somebody that you've known for a while or whenever you were kids or, you know, whatever it may be. So it's kind of just being from the market. It can feel like a little bit of pressure sometimes, you know.
Absolutely.
You've got your family watching you. You've got these people that you went to school with, you know, watching you. And and you want to stay here. So you don't. So your reputation's very important,
absolutely.
You know.
Yeah.
And so I do feel a great responsibility, but also a great reward for what I'm doing. A great purpose, I should say.
That's great.
Especially with the foster care series.
Well, that's what I was going to ask you about next. Is the foster care series that you've been doing has been so powerful? Can you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So we started it 4 years ago, I believe, a little bit more now, and we have featured
just to clarify for listeners, this is actually on Channel 4 on KFOR.
This is on KFOR, and it's a foster care series. We partner with DHS, and we feature children that don't have a home, and typically we feature children that have been in DHS custody the longest. A lot of times these are teenagers, these are kids that have some special needs, and or sibling groups, you know, that are very difficult. I've done two different sibling groups of five kids all trying to be adopted together.
Man.
Good news, both of them.
Wow.
Both of those groups have gotten adopted or in the last stages of it. So we started that about 4 years ago, and I don't have children, and I don't have a big background with foster care. My mom was adopted, but it was by her stepdad. So it was really a shock to find out the desperate need that we have here. I mean, whenever I started this, there were more than 10,000 children in DHS custody.
Wow.
Now there are under 9, which is still terrible, but it is a much better number in that 4 year, maybe 3 year time period, really. So it's getting slowly less, but there is just this great need for foster families, because I see it whenever I interview these children. I see them doing just the way they interact with me so much better if they can get into a foster home, you know, rather than being in a group home or shelter. And these kids have some strength. Hmm. I mean, that's what their resilience is unbelievable. And a lot of times it's really motivated them to not be like what they grew up in, you know. I'm featuring a kid tonight, he's a teenager, he's 16, but I'm featuring him tonight, and he said that his father told him that he wasn't worth anything, and that's why he wants to be a success, to show his father that that's not him.
Wow.
So it's been really powerful. It gets emotional. I cry sometimes whenever I, you know, write the stories.
You're about to get me crying. Yeah. Jeez.
Oh,
that's
there's some
stuff.
Heartbreaking stories. And the most heartbreaking is whenever I hear that a kid that we featured aged out.
Oh.
And you don't know where they are.
Yeah, that's too bad.
Yeah,
that really I grew up next door to a family that that fostered and adopted several kids, and it was it really, I mean, they started off with 3, which in my mind I was like, you got enough kids. And then they adopted 3 more, and whenever I go over by the old house and I see them there, it is. It's just they have created this big, bustling, welcoming family. And it's, you know, I think the message I always get when I watch your stuff is you don't run out of love, you know?
Hmm.
Bringing more people into your family doesn't diminish the amount of love you have for anybody else. It grows, you know? It's a infinite capacity.
And it's not for the faint of heart, if you will. I mean, it's a lot to take in a child into your home.
A ton, yeah.
Yeah, and so, you know, I'm just so grateful for the foster families and the adoptive families, the people that choose to go that path, because I know it's not an easy one. And a lot of these children they have a lot of trauma. Mm-hmm. That they have to get through. And so these parents are very patient with them and, you know, to get them out of that. And I'm grateful that they are stepping up in a big way.
That's awesome. So you've also got a very cool music podcast.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
That's exciting, yeah. That's a terribly clumsy transition, but.
No, it's great. See, it's the dynamic part of KFOR, right?
Right.
And it was just funny because we decided to do this podcast because of Twitter, because I saw you posting this on Twitter. And
yeah.
So I was like, we should do kind of like this.
Yeah, we're trading podcasts.
Yeah, so y'all are going to be on mine. I'm on yours.
Yeah.
We started doing music podcast a couple of months ago, probably around the same time. How long have y'all been doing this? A
couple months.
This is like our 10th episode.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm about a little bit less than that. So we feature anything music from the music industry.
And it's called Soundcheck?
It's called Soundcheck. You can find it on Apple, Google, you know, anywhere you get your podcast, but also kfor.com/podcast, which is where we post, like you guys do, the summary of what it's about and behind the scenes mm-hmm. photos and things like that. And so we've done Ferris O'Brien from The Spy.
He's great.
Mm-hmm. Isn't he wonderful? He owns a radio station.
Yep.
I mean, I thought that was really cool because I love him. The Tower Theater Operators.
Yeah.
Chad and Steven. So that was really interesting just talking to them about how they book the shows that they book. I mean, they're booked up 300-something days.
Yes, they're doing amazing stuff, too.
Amazing. Yeah. And then several musicians as well. Samantha Crane is the latest one.
Oh, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Yeah. I really like doing it. I started in music radio, and they asked me to – my web manager asked me if I would do this, and I was like, absolutely, just because I miss radio, and I miss doing this kind of aspect. So I love that these podcasts are massive right now. I feel like everyone's doing a podcast.
Yeah, they're fun. Like, yeah. I remember – did you and I do the KGOU thing together when we were in school?
I did not do.
You didn't do the.
No, I was at Clear Channel.
That's what it was. Okay, yeah. So you did that. I did the. Lacey and I went to. We're at OU at the same time,
mm-hmm.
and I did the. It was like an internship that we had a student show at KGOU, and I loved it. It was so much fun. Like going out with the recorder and doing the audio editing and all that stuff was a blast.
Yeah.
It's a fun medium to work in. Sound.
Absolutely. And we met, didn't we meet through a class where we did
the History Channel thing. Yeah. We did a whole episode of a show for the History Channel about Geronimo's grave and Fort Sill and all that stuff. Yeah. We were down in the Wichita Mountains a lot.
And it aired the day I graduated college.
Oh, that's cool. I didn't realize that.
It was like 7:30 in the morning and I turned it on. And I'm like, oh my God. Gosh, it is airing. You don't know if it's actually going to air or not.
Yeah.
So that was really neat. That was a cool graduation gift.
Yeah, that's cool. I remember that was like really stressful though. Like we were busy.
Yeah,
remember?
We were
like,
really
it
busy.
It took a lot of time.
And we had to come up with several different ideas to pitch to the mm-hmm. History Channel producers. And I don't even remember who came up with the idea of Geronimo's grave and going to Fort Sill, but it was a really neat experience.
It was cool. Yeah, mm-hmm. We had a really good time. We got to talk to Tawana Spivey, who was the historian down there. And you could still tour Fort mm-hmm. Sill, speaking of tourism, which is what we do. You could tour Fort Sill,
nice.
And you could actually go see Geronimo's grave, which is a really cool site.
Mm-hmm.
And so we highly recommend you do that. But going back to music for a second, that was a total detour.
Sorry.
It's all good.
As
that
we
was
digress.
Me.
This is like Rise and Channel.
I know. I wish we could capture some of that energy. So who are some of the Oklahoma musicians that you've been into lately? Who have you been listening to? What's
oh, gosh.
On the horizon?
So I tend to listen to the ones that are going to be coming on the show.
Sure,
so
yeah.
I listened to Samantha Crane's album. Oh, my goodness.
She's
it's so
great.
Beautiful. That came out, I believe, it was last year. And coming up, we have Kalo, K-A-L-O.
Okay.
And it's very interesting story. The singer is from Israel.
She lives
in Oklahoma.
Oh, wow.
And so I've been listening to their music.
Her voice is so powerful. Like, and that music, it's not like anything else. It really is.
Awesome.
Like, it's very singular.
It is rocking. I mean, she can play guitar, too.
Yeah.
Oh, that's cool.
So that's one that's coming up pretty soon. Yeah. I'm trying to think of anyone else. You put me on the spot at this point.
I know JB. Yeah, JB's got a new one coming out. He had an album release party this past Sunday, which I was going to go to and then didn't.
Oh, and Bo Jennings was on the show, so we listened
to his album, The Thunderbird, is fantastic. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, it's so good. Really? So I've been listening to a lot of that.
Yeah, he had an album several years ago called The Verdigris that was all about Will Rogers, and I was listening to it. I was on a work trip. I was going to Beaver's Bend, and that curvy, windy drive between Antlers and Broken Bow, right? That's kind of, I won't say scary driving, but you have to watch out because there's, you know, forests on either side. Driving. Yeah, you have to be attentive. I was listening to that album, and I started crying so hard that I had to pull over to the side of the road because it was so, there was just a moment on that record that I was like, okay, it is time to stop piloting the car now and just listen.
And I'm sure the scenery right there, too, really
helped. Yeah, it was quite a moment.
Does it feel like, speaking of kind of moments, does it feel to anybody else like... Oklahoma has sort of been breaking out of its shell in so many different arenas. And one of them, it really does feel like, I mean, musically, we've always had some big country acts who came from Oklahoma and, you know, a little bit of a transition to some red dirt stuff. But but more and more now, folk music coming out of Oklahoma, rock music coming out of Oklahoma, and really onto a national stage where it's no longer like, oh, yeah, there's this cool local band. It's like, yeah, you could go to Vermont and people will be like, yes, I've heard of Bo Jennings. You know, I know John Moreland. Tons of stuff like that.
Well, even mainstream, I mean, you look at these reality shows that have The Voice, the competition shows.
Sure.
Yeah. There's an Oklahoma singer right now on The Voice.
Oh, really? Oh, wow. Yeah.
I only knew Chase Kirby a few years ago.
There's several, you know, and so you think about that. And then, like, America's Got Talent's had a couple of Oklahomans. Mm-hmm. Of course, Darcy Lynn won.
Sure.
Yeah.
So you think about all the kind of diverse music coming from here, and it's pretty incredible. And definitely on my podcast, I want to talk more about the venues that have opened up.
There's so many good ones. Yeah.
And we'll actually talk about some of those here in a little bit for our events section.
We've got an events guide at the end of this that's going to recap some of those. But yeah, that's what's been interesting too is, you know, there's always been kind of the historic places, the Canes.
The Diamond,
which is a little bit lesser. I love the Diamond Ballroom, though.
I love the shows I've been to there. I saw Kings of Leon there, like, yeah.
Really?
Like, 8 years ago.
Oh,
they had a potluck outside with their family. Of course they did. And it was really cool.
Oh my gosh.
I think I saw They Might Be Giants there.
But that was fun.
Yaz played there.
Yes. Yeah. I mean, yeah. So many. And it's stuff that... like, if you were a fan of music in Oklahoma and not just these big arena rock stuff, I mean, obviously the BOK and Chesapeake are going to get some of these huge concerts, which is great. I mean, I remember being a kid and listening to the radio, and the only thing you ever heard was this week, Firehouse with special guest, the Nixons or whatever,
right,
you know.
Yeah. Also from Oklahoma.
Exactly. And now, if you're paying attention, like, tons of touring acts are coming through here. And they're hitting the Tower, and they're hitting Diamond, and they're hitting Canes, and all these other not traditionally enormous venues. And then now, even over at the Tower, they've got the upstairs room at Pony Boy is now doing shows.
Yeah, oh, that's cool.
And really, it's great to have some of these more intimate spaces too. I mean, obviously the Blue Door is a classic
in
Oklahoma
it's my favorite
City.
Place.
Yeah.
Yeah. I love that.
But
that
you
room.
Think about, I, you know, I'm thinking out loud right now, just as you're saying that, with the advent of iTunes and streaming, and I feel like there are so many bands out there and not as many that get massive, right?
True, yeah.
And so you need those small, mid-sized venues to cater to that audience. And it's the bands that, I mean, I go to so many shows and I tell people where I'm going, they're like, who's that? You know, but for the audience that they cater to, I mean, like, everybody knows them.
Yeah.
You know? And so I really think that maybe that's what we needed to kind of get to what people are listening to these days. But you're going to have your share that's coming up to the Chesapeake Energy Arena, Elton John, like all the big ones. So you need that big venue, but you also need those smaller mid-sized venues as well.
Absolutely. Oh, absolutely. Yeah. And it's a cool thing how they do sort of the mix of the, you know, like the acts that sort of the nostalgia acts, right? Like, I saw Toad the Wet Sprocket earlier this year at the Tower Theater.
Yeah.
I've seen them at the Jones Assembly. Like, they're one of my favorite bands. But, like, they're not going to play at the Chesapeake.
No, I saw Spoon at the Jones and was just like, completely blown right. away. And again, that's one of those things. As a kid, I was like, you know, oh, I'll never get to see.
Yeah.
I'll never get to see these like weird alternative bands that it seems like only I love. And then you're there, and yeah. there's so many other people, and it's like, no, man, you weren't alone. Like yeah. we've all been listening, just waiting for him to show up.
But in that same yeah. size of a space, you can get like St. Paul and the Broken Bones. I saw them at mm-hmm. the Jones. That was an amazing, absolutely blow my head off, good show.
Yeah.
Todrick Hall at the Tower Theater recently. You know,
I wish I would have gone to that.
I know, I missed it, and I was so bummed later that when people were posting photos, I was like, I should have gone. Right. But oh well.
But like I saw Interpol, they're from New York
Love
City,
them.
And they played yeah. at Criterion, and I never thought they would come to Oklahoma City.
Yeah.
And I think they had been to Tulsa once or twice at the Tower, or I'm sorry, at Kane's Ballroom, but they had never, that I know of, been to Oklahoma City. So it was so cool to have somebody like that. And then the Pixies, mm-hmm. when saw them at the Jones Assembly.
Oh,
and how
I wanted
cool
to
is
go.
That?
I wanted to go so bad.
And then did they play again?
They played at the Jones twice, I think. Yeah.
And not very wide time frame.
Yeah.
I'm going to see Kurt Vile again this weekend, and I saw him a year ago at Jones Assembly.
Oh, that's
so
cool.
These guys are coming back because yeah. they find something here that they like, or they like the way that the venues are treating them,
mm-hmm.
and they want to come back, which is cool.
Yeah, I'm liking it. I'm really liking it. It just feels like a whole new city and a whole new state, which is really cool.
Mm-hmm.
I hate to wrap it up.
Are we eventing?
We are going to have to do some events.
That's exciting. Speaking of places to go see music.
Yes.
November 11th, grab your bike or just a pair of trainers and head to the Myriad Botanical Gardens in Oklahoma City at dusk for the full moon bike ride and run. If you want a bike, you don't even have to have one of your own. You can rent one for the night with Ride OKC or Spokies. Plus, Mutt Radio will be in the park all evening spinning fight songs to keep you motivated. It's important to have a good motivational
yes,
song when
is.
You're exercising. My current one is simply the best. Tina Turner. You can't go wrong with that one. Admission is free. Visit OklahomaCityBotanicalGardens.com for more info.
November 13th, Pumpkin Spice, Like Love, and the Music of Dolly Parton is eternal. Tulsa artist Laura Voth will teach pumpkin spice painting at Mother Road Market, where participants will learn to paint with espresso while enjoying drinks and treats from Tulsa's first food collective. Tickets are $30 on Eventbrite.com.
That sounds like fun. We had a piece of art in the magazine last year that was done with cigarette ash and coffee. So I'm excited to see what folks create at that.
Yeah.
November 14th through 16th, Original Recipe is live theater at its most original. It's right there in the name.
I know.
Head to Rogers State University in Claremore for this annual showcase of short plays written by the Claremore community and performed by RSU theater students. Oh, that sounds cool. Grab tickets to this year's performance and start preparing your one-act masterpiece to submit next year. Oh, I got a ton of ideas. Tickets are $3 to $12. Visit rsu.edu for more.
Stillwater's Tumbleweeds Dance Hall hosts the Josh Abbott Band's Catching Fire Tour on November 15th. It's all the red dirt country rock you can handle for $10. Visit calffry.com for tickets.
Calffry.com.
Yep.
Huh. All right. November 15th, Keep the Spice, Lose the Pumpkins. Cameron University's Military Science Club. I was not in a club that cool in college. Cameron University's Military Science Club hosts the inaugural Pumpkin Chuckin' and Fall Festival. And you can bet there will be gourds all over the place. They're just going to be flying through the air. The festival also honors 110 years of Cameron University and will benefit Lawton Public Schools. In addition to the pumpkin catapults, the event will feature family-friendly games, a cornhole competition, and multiple booths and food stands run by the university's student organizations. Admission is free. Visit Cameron.edu to learn more.
On November 17th, speaking of the Jones Assembly, Rodrigo y Gabriela are playing the Jones in Oklahoma City with a show of classical guitar composition with a heavy metal tinge. The duo started as members of the Mexican metal band Terra Acida and spent the last 20 years taking acoustic guitar to new hard rock heights. Tickets start at $39 on Eventbrite.com.
That sounds like fun.
I know. Guys, thank you. First of all, Lacey, thank you so much for
Such
joining
a pleasure
us.
To
it
have
was
you.
Really, really fun.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah.
Appreciate it.
And thank you guys for listening. Be sure to subscribe to the podcast on any of your various podcasting apps and services. Or it might not do as much good, but just shout it out the window. I want to listen to the Oklahoma Today podcast. And who knows what
It's
will
like
happen.
I want my MTV.
Yes,
yeah.
exactly.
Yeah.
But much less effective. subscribe. Make sure you don't miss an episode. Please do rate and review us online and send any questions or comments to oktpod@travelok.com. Please visit OklahomaToday.com/subscribe to make sure you don't miss a single issue of our magazine.
Tulsa issues out right now. We've got a Tulsa scavenger hunt. You can get some great deals if you go online and do it.
Yes, sir.
Including 10% off at Buck Adams Cosmic Curios on Route 66.
Mm-hmm.
One of our favorites. A free enamel pin with admission to the Philbrook.
That's right.
Yeah.
So we will talk to you again next week. Thanks for tuning in.
See you next time.